This is Murray Yates welcoming you today to Mission Breakthrough. Today we will be looking at how sin came into the world. What is sin and the results of it? As part of a circus act, a man would place his head in a tiger's mouth. He advanced to the tiger and the tiger opened his mouth. While the crowd watched in breathless wonder and horror, the man thrust his head in the open mouth, paused a moment, then slowly withdrew his head from the place of danger and backed from the cage. As he shut the door, the tiger leapt against the bars with terrific force. Many people had prophesied that the man would pay for his foolishness sometime in the future. Their utterance was fulfilled. You see, while his head was in the tiger's mouth one night, those powerful jaws closed on him before several bullets ended the tiger's life. It is like you and me. You see, the tiger has a certain nature, and it eventually came through. He may have been amusing the crowd, but deep down, his true nature eventually came through. And sin is something like that. You see, every single one of us has done wrong things. Every single one of us has had that tendency to sin. You may ask, well, how did sin come into this world? Well, in Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 to 17, and also we'll have a look at Genesis chapter 3, verses 7 to 12 as well, along with several other scriptures that we have there. But I had started work where I met up with a young man who, like me, had just started work too. We were chatting together at a lunchtime when a worker from the dispatch department came to Ewart and myself and asked if he was coming to the mission, which was to be held at their church next week. I asked him what a mission was, and he told me that a man would be coming to speak about Jesus Christ. I had been going to a church and Bible class, and I decided to go to hear this man speak. Things weren't done, though, in the same way as I was used to at Bible class, and so I walked out. However, I went back on the third night and stayed the whole service. As I sat there, a blackness seemed to come over me. God was showing me that I had sinned and that I was lost. In my despair, I cried out to God, and he showed me there was a way out, and it was through his Son, Jesus Christ. That night I went home a changed man, because I had now had an personal encounter with Jesus, and I knew now that I was forgiven for all my sin. I also found that I had a peace that I'd never had before. It is in Genesis which we find the tragic story of man and woman who left the presence of God. They did this knowing that God had told them to beware of listening to the devil's voice. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, we see how God in his wonderful love had created men and women so that they could have contact with him, and so they could tend the garden that God had created. The man was alone in the garden because a woman had not been created yet. He was told that he could eat any fruit in the garden, but he was not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God created the woman by taking a rib from the man. And here God was showing his love to the man as he knew that it was not good for the man to be alone. Everything was perfect. The man enjoyed his work. He had plenty to eat. He was able to enjoy God's presence. And he knew that God loved him and would continue to bless him and his wife. The Bible tells us that the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals. He came and he said to Eve, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" And the woman told the serpent that we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you may not eat from the tree in the middle of the garden, and you may not touch it, or you will die. The result was that Eve picked the fruit from the knowledge of good and evil, and they realized they were naked, and they tried to hide from God because they had sinned. They had disobeyed God, and although God loved them, he hated their sin, and he sent them out of the Garden of Eden where they had to work and toil for their food and build their own homes. Adam and Eve could not stand before God like they had before, and instead they eventually died spiritually and physically. Sin had entered the world through their disobedience. Today there are many who don't know God because they have decided that they would rather go their own way, or they just don't know that there is a God. In the Bible, we can read about sin. We can read about, though, how we can be forgiven for it. But first of all, the Bible talks about men who wouldn't retain the knowledge of God. This is how it reads. "Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. And they are gossips, slanderers, and God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil, and they disobey their parents. You may not, of course, have done all those things, but you may have done some of those things. And the thing is, that is what makes you a sinner. Or, when you were born, really you had a tendency to sin, just like the tiger had a tendency to kill for his food. So do we have that tendency to go ahead and do those things which are wrong. But is there a way out? Well, there is. You heard how I found that Jesus Christ was living and real. I'm not talking, you see, about a religion, but rather I'm talking about a living person who although he died once, after 3 days he came alive again. Also, another scripture shows this. It says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And there again, another one reads, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." What a wonderful verse. You see, for although our wages of the wrong things that we've done, and everyone has done something wrong, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. First of all, no man can deserve the gift that God gives, that is eternal life. But when you come and invite Jesus Christ into your life, and when you repent from your sin, God gives you this wonderful gift of eternal life. And eternal life doesn't start when you're in heaven. Eternal life starts while you're on earth. Another verse that we have here today is John 14 verse 6. And that reads, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." I was talking to a young man yesterday from India, and he had been a Buddhist, and really still was. He had believed in other things as well, and yet there was one thing that was missing. He didn't have a real peace. That is, he didn't really know that his sin was forgiven. He certainly had never met up with Jesus Christ and had never made a personal commitment to him. And as we spoke that day, he began to open up. I'm not saying that he invited Christ in that day, but certainly he began to understand more. And this is just an example of what Jesus will do. You may have thought, well, he's not really living and real. Well, you can find out that he is, particularly as you start seeking him, maybe one step at a time. You see, as I mentioned, Jesus said that he was the truth, the life, and the way. And he is the truth for every person from every culture and every nation. There's some other verses too that I have there today. There is one in 2 Corinthians verse 5 and 17. And this is what it says. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." And this is a result of a person who invites Jesus Christ into his life. Another thing too is simply that, as I mentioned before, a person needs to repent. And the Bible tells us that if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Jesus came for a purpose. You see, Jesus came and he had all power. At the age of 30, he started his ministry. Yes, when Jesus first entered the world, he was born of a virgin. And he grew up and he was absolutely perfect because he was the Son of God and he was filled by the power of the Holy Spirit. At the age of 30, he went out into the various villages and many people were healed. people began to understand that here is the Messiah, the one that was promised and the one that would come. He also raised dead people from their beds. And the word got around that, yes, here is a person who was to come. Here was a person who really loved us. Here was a person who was willing to come and to help resolve the problems of their life. Jesus just didn't come to heal men and women physically. What he had come to do was to die in the place of men and women. He only could do that because he was perfect. It was all part of God's plan that men and women could come to heaven. You see, God was wanting them to come, but he couldn't tolerate any sin. A person who was pure could be a perfect sacrifice, and God would accept that. And that is exactly what happened. Jesus allowed these wicked men to come to nail him to a cross, but he didn't stay there. If he had, well, he would just be like a normal man, and that would be the end of it. But 3 days later, he came to life again, and many people saw him. And the marvelous thing is that God accepted what he did. And today you can come on this basis to know Jesus Christ personally. I sometimes tell a story about D.L. Moody. He was a famous American evangelist. And a man got up in his meeting and said these words. He said, "I've learned 3 things in 42 years. And Moody thought, "Well, that's got to be good. I'm about to hear 3 things that this man learned in 42 years. And the first thing is that God had created a plan of salvation for men and women. The second one was that God did not expect you to do anything towards making that plan. And the third thing was that the plan was finished. You didn't have to do a thing except the plan. You know, this takes all the hassle out of you trying to do something to make yourself worthy to come to God. God knows what you are like, and it's because of the blood of Jesus Christ that you can be forgiven. Because Jesus died in your place. He took the punishment for everything that you've done wrong. And on that basis, and that basis alone, you can come to him and receive this great gift of eternal life. There may be someone out here today who is listening to my voice, and you wish to invite Jesus Christ into your life. Well, you can follow me in this prayer today. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you died in my place and for my sin. I'm sorry for the wrong things that I've done. Please forgive me. Please come into my heart and change my life. I thank you that you died for me. I thank you that you have given me eternal life, life which goes on forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Today, if you prayed that prayer, and you mean it. You too have become a child of God, and you too have had your sins forgiven. I suggest you go to a local church so that you can also begin to know more about who Jesus is and how you too can become a more mature Christian. This is Murray Yates signing off for this week.